Dear colleagues, I hope everyone is already here. Everyone is back from coffee break. Anyway, so let's continue. And after the between coffee break and lunch, we will have two talks, but only one speaker. And this will be Dorota. She is already there, Dorota Kudoba. And her first presentation will be an information about the FLMP user program. It's 20 minutes, including discussion. So the floor is yours, Dorota.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Program Advisory Committee, dear colleagues. As usually, I would like to present some our report of activity of FLNP user program for year 2019. Firstly, you can see that our reactor was working in actually in 8 cycles. 6 cycle was cancelled due to technical reasons, and because of that we have 5 cycle in the first round and 3 cycles in the second round. In 2019, our reactor was operated 2,680 hours for experiments. In the first round, for our user program, were working all facilities. In the second round, because of technical reason, we worked without UMO facility. All proposals from the second half year for UMO facility was shifted to the first round of 2020. But it means that in the second round of 2019, our colleagues from UMO facility doesn't work for user program, but they, of course, also experiments they were carried out. And experiments which were carried out was dedicated for the realizations of the Russian Science Foundation grants. We can say that approximately 50% of planet experiments were carried out. Also, experiment for maintenance of the UMO instrument and some experiments in the framework of collaborations with Romania, colleagues from Romania, from Poland, Czech Republic, Hungary, and other Russian science grants. Here you can see a number of proposals comparison with from 2015 to 2019. I remember I mentioned you that in 2018 we have also just one round, so just half of year we was working under user program. So the number of proposal is more or less the same. In 2019 we have 220 submitted proposals and 196 was accepted to realization. Here you can see number of proposal per facility. This is the main spectrum of submitted proposals. How you can mention the highest number of proposals we have on the UMO facility. Then here we have part of diffraction and reflectometry and inelastic neutron scattering. So I will show you in detail for the number of proposals with direction of investigations. So here you can see for the UMO, for the small angle neutron scattering, you can see that, of course, in 2018 we have just half of it. So you can see that we observe slightly increasing of number of proposals submitted to this facility. Here you have comparison for the facilities working with structured investigations. It means diffractometers. Here you can mention that the leader of facilities with highest number of proposals is the SCAT facility and high resolution for diffractometer. Of course, the third place we have real-time diffractometer. The smallest number of proposals for DN6 facility can be connected with this, that this is quite new facility, so the number should increase in the future. Last time was mentioned that we have some decreasing on the Epsilon facility and the diffractometer. I will not comment now these questions because last days, I can say so, we have some changing on these facilities, and I hope in February this year we will have some meeting with the German group and something I hope we will discuss the future of these facilities, and with that we will connect, of course, the responsible for the facility and system of the proposal submission, and of course the future of this facility. If we are looking on experiments or proposals for reflectometry, you can see that the leader is Grains facility. This is more or less from 2015. The number of proposals is more or less the same. On the Ramur facility, we it is hard to say, observe decreasing of number of proposals, but yes, we made some modernizations last year, so it may be connected with this, but yes, this is the second place of the number of proposals by reflectometry, and the last is reflex. But here it's optimistic tendency to increasing. And spectroscopy. About spectroscopy, how you know, we have two inelastic neutron scattering. We mentioned it that on the NERA spectrometer we have from 2016 more or less the same situations with the number of proposals. Now I hope it will be increasing because of finished modernization. And on D2P, this spectrometer, I think it's finishing work, so we can see that this decreasing tendency just give us also argument that we need a new inelastic neutron scattering facility. New. Here you can see comparison the ratio of numbers of experimental reports to number of accepted proposals. It's better last time, but this is not good situation. So you can see that, of course, in 2019 people are not ready to write this reports maybe, but I would like to mention that each user has information that they have 3 months after experimenter carried out to put their reports on the site. This is quite complicated to get this report from users, but yes, we try it, and We observe slightly increasing reports from last year. So 1 year ago, I reported that from 2018, we had just 36 reports. Here was 136. So it's slightly increasing, but even our emails, connections, telephones, and so on and so on, it doesn't help to get these reports. Now, proposal distributions with science correlations. How you can see, the leaders of this distribution is material science and physics. We can observe decreasing in the physics area. Material science is more or less about more than 35%. The second or the third place is the chemistry, geoscience, and bioscience, and the less it's for the applied science. Of course, this distributions depends from what users means, and they can choose it. So this is not so clearly, not every time. Now, visitors, distribution of visitors by country. You can. I would like to mention that the highest number of visitors we have from Russia, of course. This is about more than 50 people each year. And the second place is Poland, and then Germany. Actually, we observe also some new countries from last year's not members state countries of our institute. So, like Egypt, Mongolia, or Estonia. Yes, I didn't prepare this distribution per our facilities, but this is more or less the most the highest number of users come to UMO facility, and I think the highest number of Russian users which coming to us to prepare to carry out experiment are coming to UMO facility, to Smolensk and Nijinsk. Last time you mentioned that you wanted to see a distribution or list of institutes from Russia, from which were, from where come our users. Here you can see that this yellow one is institutes from Moscow, and here you have also on which facilities users from this institute come. And I think the most important institutions from Moscow are listed here. The second part, the blue one, it's from St. Petersburg. You can also mention that many very important institutes are here listed. And the this is not all. This is another one from where are not so many users, but the highest number of users. Of course, the list is longer, and but there is for one users, from one users, two users, and so on. And here from Russia, we see institutes from, for example, Kazan, from Novgorod or Yekaterinburg or Tula. This was just pure statistic, and now the instrumental scientific outcome. So we can compare the number of publications which was written connected with experiments from facilities working on Iber 2 reactor, So the best results is 2018. It was 99 papers. In this year, it's about 70 papers. But okay, it's slightly increasing. I hope it will be increase in next year. Now, in more in detail, instrument scientific outcome. This statistic is after applying a weighting factor that is based on the journal impact factor. You can see that the leader from 2006 to 2019, the leader of facility in this area is high. Resolution Fourier diffractometers. It's more or less 30-20%. This is pink one. The second one, it's we can say that it's HUMO facility. Here we observe decreasing of the percents, so from 15% to 36%. Also, the diffractometer working under stresses, then DN12 and DN6, the number is also more or less the same. So from last year, DN6 is smaller, we observe a slightly decreasing. The stable situations we can observe on the FSD diffractometer, it's more or less 5%. Then SCAT diffractometer is from 4%, 8, 4, and now it's a little bit in decreasing, it's 2%. And also some regular situations is on the NIRA spectrometer. It's from 6, then it's increasing, decreasing, then it's again increasing to 8, and now decreasing to 3%. Here I mention three best papers for 2016 to 2019. You can see that the impact factor of the best three papers are increasing, in my opinion. So now we observe more papers with impact factor higher than 5 or 4.5. And you can mention that the best paper are connected mostly with HUMO spectrum, HUMO facility, and high resolution Fourier diffractometer. Now, a few words about our user program and proposal distribution. So, as you know, we have two rounds. With period of proposal submission in from 1st September until 15 October, and then with very complicated system, we can give information to the users with our schedule at 25 December. The second period of proposal submission is from 1st March until 15 April, and the information users get on 25 June. Actually, this system is quite complicated, and many points depends of person aspect. So because of that, we decide to create new website, new website. This website already exists. So last time we talk that we will read it until end of 2019. Now this website exists, and we slowly, so this website was created with Intergraphics company. Now we slowly put all informations to this site, all database we try to get from old site to the new one, and if everything will be okay, then on the end of this month we will able to start testing. So we have about 3 weeks for testing this site, and I hope in March 2020 we will start proposal submission with this new website. Also something new in our user program is that from this round we're starting with a new facility, so a neutron activation analysis facility will be added into our user program, so Regatta, and so we need to create or organize new expert committee. Up to now we have agreement with 5 people from different countries, so to working for us as experts. So we have experts from Canada, Norway, South Africa, North Macedonia, and Australia. And I hope in framework of our user program, we will have about 30 experiments, 30 proposals, not less, in for the neutron activation analysis. And actually, this all. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Dorota, for this very, very nice presentation, which was really very, very informative. Now, the floor is yours for questions. Pavel, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Dorota, for nice presentation. And I am impressed by analytical part. And therefore, I would like to suggest you another parameter for analysis, which is the sum of impact factors of each publication normalized to the number of publications. It will characterize the increase of quality of science which is produced at the IBER 2 reactor.
Okay, I will do this.
Thank you. Further comments, Toby?
Yes, thank you. I was impressed by the statistics. It was quite informative. One can see some interesting trends and also the use of the instrumentation. So I have a more general question, which is how is that information being used to determine the strategy for instrumentation? So, for example, we can see that some of the instruments have got very low usage. Is that feeding into, for example, a review of whether such instruments should be shut down or whether they need actually an upgrade? It's that sort of feedback of statistics into operational planning I would be keen to hear about.
Actually, you know, this is user program. We, of course, are in contact with our directorate and our bosses from our department, and of course they have plan of modernizations, and they check all instruments how they are working, and of course they take under account if they have these facilities have users, if the number of proposals increasing or decreasing. But this is part of our department work, not my.
I mean, it may be the wrong place to actually to raise that as a question, but I think it perhaps refers back to the first talk we had about the reactor which is rather than a presentation just of sort of the good work, and there's plenty of good work that's going on the reactor, but it's actually getting the wider view of the strategy about how that is being fed in. And I also appreciate that there's a sort of the rolling 7-year plans for the laboratory, but actually instrumentation doesn't follow an artificially imposed outside 7-year timetable. It is actually a continuous process, and so therefore it is actually good to get that update on an annual basis about what is happening and the choices of how resources are being directed towards developments. And I think it's actually important to say that, I mean, we're here as an advisory committee, so it is actually good to ask questions of us as advisors rather than to just present the information.
Toby, I fully agree with you. Just a moment. I fully agree with you. However, I think that the situation is right now quite similar to what we have just had with Denis Kozlenko's presentation. So this is also an input, but this is not the presentation where evaluation and the assessment of the instruments should be done. That will be our task with this input and with the contribution of the directorate.
Okay. I see.
Yeah, one more question.
Well, regarding the statistics, of course it's very informative. However, there is one more normalizing factor that should sometimes be taken into account, and that is the average length of duration of an average experiment, mm-hmm. both on a small angle machine and on most diffractometers. The average experiment is a short-term experiment. Therefore, you have a large throughput through these instruments. A spectrometer, on the other side, is a machine on which we run long-lasting experiments, and that can be also that should sometimes be taken into account if we want to measure the performance or the productivity of the mm-hmm. of the particular instruments, because that might be. Mm-hmm. Also,
yes, I think next time I will also prepare information of the over or not how many proposals and how many time we have on each facility.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Jerzy.
Sorry. A quick question. What is about the proportion of in-house experiments or in-house science and the external one? I know that there is no clear-cut limit between the two, but let's say between experiments where the in-house part is dominating and experiments where the out-of-house.
So from our user programmer rules, we have 10% for the 30% for the home works, but actually we didn't check it. And yes, I can prepare this comparison between internal and external experiments, but. Yeah, I cannot answer now the ratio of these two kind of experiments.
Further questions, comments? Who was that? Oh, yeah. Yes, please. Sorry.
This one? Yeah. Oh. Thank you for the statistics. It's always good to have this sort of information. I was really impressed by the number of proposals you had for UMO. It stands out at something like 40% of the total proposals, if I understood correctly. Yeah. I wonder what that means for you. I mean, do you have the capacity to accommodate such a high number of proposals?
Yes.
And does it send a message to you about the popularity and whether or not you should put more resources into the small angle scattering?
Excuse me.
I just wonder if what you think about, in light of the popularity, whether that
yes.
drives your decisions about...
Yes, it was mentioned by Denis Petrovich Kozlenko that we will have the second one, a small-angle neutron scattering facility.
Okay.
It's under construction now. Yes.
I think as concerning this statistics, of course, a lot of things should be still refined. Let me mention only just one example, and the rest we can discuss later directly. We had the problem with the experimental reports, which is absolutely necessary for the reviewers. Without experimental report, you cannot do your job. And also, it's very nicely increasing, but for example, there was a drop for the last year. But it's only a seeming, it's only seemingly there, because very often it happens that the next proposal is already submitted before the previous experiment has been done. And if then they refer to this as a continuation of the experiment not yet done, we can hardly expect an experimental report. But these are really only details what we have to refine, and if we do it correctly, then the statistics will be also better. So thank you very much. I think now we have to proceed to the second presentation, and let me correct a little bit, because right now we will have two presenters, and I wonder who will be the first one. Okay, now I see it will be Wojtek Zajac, and then Dorota will come back, and it is on the new inelastic neutron scattering spectrometer at the IBR2 reactor, the status and the prospects of the project. So Wojtek, the floor is yours.
Well, it's my honor to present just a very, very short outline of what is meant to be a science case or a case for project justification the revamp of inelastic neutron scattering instrumentation is concerned. So this is what I'm going to present this afternoon to you. These are topics which I'm going to cover. And not to waste time, let's go to the first point. Neutrons, as we all know, can excite atomic vibrations or activate stochastic motions, and for inelastic and vice versa, of course. For inelastic incoherent scattering, the scattering intensity is a double Fourier transform, space and time Fourier transform of self-correlation function. This is all we know, and that's what we measure. Since we are interested in spectroscopy, we should first answer the question, are neutrons any better approach to study vibrational properties than a conventional or desktop spectroscopy carried out by optical methods? And even if so, do neutrons deliver value for money? Just to give you an impression, this project is aiming at a budget that would cover the cost of about 30 decent quality infrared spectrometers. So it is not a cheap toy. Moreover, no spectroscopy can now be successfully carried out without complementarity. And complementarity is not just having two type of experiments in parallel. It's about having two kinds of spectrometries pulling each other. So any development in one field automatically pulls the development in the other field. And that's why we should not stay at the level that was established 30 years ago when NERA, the presently operated instrument at FLNP, was built. At that time, this instrument was competitive, was about the quality of TFXA at ICES within the common energy transfer range. Now, we all understand it's well behind. It's lost. It's long ago lost the race. Complementarity. Where we are with Newton. This is the well-known map. Everybody shows this map. And I don't want to be anywhere else, so I'm also doing this. Neutron spectroscopy sits here, and we see that it fills the area on the map that is basically not covered by any other technique. If we are not, if we are disregarding momentum transfer, if we are considering just a projection of this map on the vertical axis, this of course can be done in parallel with other methods, and that's what we call complementarity. That's what we explore. But we should understand there will be a lot of subjects to be solved in this area of the map that cannot be solved by any other means. So that is one of the factors that justifies the build of neutron spectrometers. Neutron spectrometry and photon spectrometry. This list of pros and cons, this list of features of both is maybe carried on for many, many more slides, and I'm not going to do this, just pointed out a few items here that seem important. The first one that I put in red, this is often disregarded or neglected, but it is something that's very important if we compare neutrons to photons. First of all, vibrations, atomic vibrations, is the vibrations of the masses located at atomic positions, and these masses sit on the atomic nuclei. Therefore, the best way to study this would be to use a probe that interacts with atomic nuclei, and that are, and these are neutrons. photons in the Raman and infrared spectroscopy, they interact with atomic with electronic densities, and the way that electronic densities or changes in the properties of electronic densities, such as dipole moment or polarizability, they change with moving masses in a non-straightforward way, and every chemist knows this. Let's remember only the concept of atomic orbitals and their hybridization. Therefore, the electronic properties, the properties of electronic density, they respond in a complicated way, not straightforward way, to the vibrations. Moreover, the interaction of neutrons with atomic nuclei is a simple two-body interaction within this energy range, and it's tractable by simple, very simple theory. on the other hand, the interaction of photons with electronic densities is by no means straightforward and requires a fairly sophisticated theory to model. this calls for the application of ab initio calculations, and nowadays we cannot imagine any decent spectroscopy experiment without the support from ab initio simulations, ab initio calculations, and these can be translated quite simply into what we observe the neutrons. No selection rules, this of course everybody knows this. Neutron has a mass, and therefore we are in fact performing a 2D or even 4D spectroscopy. With photons, we can only look at the near vicinity of gamma point in the Abelian zone. routinely, neutron spectroscopy reaches down to almost zero energy transfers. For optical spectroscopy, there are cutoffs. Middle infrared spectroscopy ends at around 400 inverted centimeters, and if we want to get any lower, we have to use binomially easy and expensive far infrared. Neutrons are very sensitive to hydrogen vibrations, not only through the through very high, exceptionally high cross section for incoherent scattering, but also through the relation of masses. The mass of neutron is almost identical to the mass of the proton, and that's why this interaction is very effective. And we can also play with neutron with isotope substitution. That's trivial. Now, moving further to the idea of complementarity. This is one of the examples taken from the paper, which is still hot, so to say. It's Stuart, one of the Stuart Parker's paper on a compound whose name I wouldn't dare to pronounce here, but let's call it iridium PPI, and that is a metallo-organic complex, and it looks like this. It's a very important compound for in photonics, also of high industrial applications. And the problem of electronic properties of this compound, structural properties, is absolutely crucial to the design of light emitting semiconductors and so on. Here we see that or a complete characterization of vibration in this material, neutron spectroscopy must be done because low level vibration modes are not accessible by any other means that we can see easily on the infrared or Raman spectra drawn here. Another example is a compound that is a well-known precursor in the chemical industry, namely in the industry of thermosetting resins. It's of very, very high industrial interest. Also, in-depth understanding of what happens in this compound cannot be understood without neutron spectroscopy. We can see clear cutoffs of infrared or Raman, and if we want to go here, we have to switch to another instrument, switch to another mode of a multimode instrument, and that is not easy or not cheap at all. Let's focus on small energy transfer range. Let's focus on this for a moment. And we, in the previous slide, we saw these cutoffs of which I spoke just a moment ago. Often, infrared can be extended, but it is not easy or cheap. And often does not mean always. And there is a large field of research also done and aimed to be done or thought to be done on our spectrometers here in Dubna. This is the study of catalysts, and those catalysts are usually so-called supported catalysts. It is a catalyzing a compound on a spongy support made of alumina, carbon, whatever else. Such an object is almost intractable by optical vibrational spectroscopy, because it is not transparent, and things like ATR cannot be used on a spongy material, because we cannot make a very thin flat layer of it. And this is the area of research where neutrons are absolutely unique if you want to access the vibrational properties of it. So this is just these two examples can advocate for the development of neutron spectroscopy. If we're talking about neutron spectroscopy, we all know that there are maybe two geometries employed. We can either use a so-called direct geometry, where a monochromatic beam is shined upon the sample, and the scattered neutrons are analyzed energy-wise, usually by time-of-flight method. Therefore, we can, with this method, we can carry out basically a 2D spectroscopy in both energy transfer and momentum transfer range. So we have a constant or fixed initial momentum and momentum of scattered neutrons varying with time if the time of flight is used to analyze. In an indirect geometry or inverted geometry, we have the vice versa, and we have a time-dependent incident beam, incident k, and a fixed scattered momentum for a given scattering angle. Of course, in this geometry, we are tracing well-defined traces on the omega q plane, as I will show on this example. This is a iodomethane, is a model compound to illustrate these properties. This spectrum has been taken at ISIS on MAPS. It is a direct geometry instrument, and the solid lines here are traces taken on TOSCA. This is the main difference between the two. Now, which one to choose? There is no general recipe, and all major neutron facilities offer both type of spectrometers, and we decide which one to choose basing on the problem we are going to solve. Usually, direct geometry instruments can cover a large range in Q, always reach down to low Q, traditionally used for magnetic research, but it's just so-called gauged by frequency. The existing machines have very, very large detector areas, therefore they are pretty expensive, and the large detector area is driven by the efficiency needs. Resolution is a fraction of the incident energy. Since the incident energy is fixed, therefore we have a fixed resolution, and that is a pro in this type of solution. Indirect geometry, relatively simple operation. If Q is really irrelevant, we can also maintain a very high acceptance, and the project that Dorota will show in a moment will provide a proof to that. Generally, they are considered more versatile. Much more now is done on inverted geometry machines than on direct geometry, but the resolution is a fraction of energy transfer, so it decreases rapidly with increasing energy transfer. Main challenges to inelastic spectroscopy, this is just a few slogans, but we have to keep them in mind. We have to aim at small samples. The samples getting more and more expensive, We are studying more and more sophisticated samples whose which may not be available at large amounts. This also applies to isotope substituted samples. So we cannot live any longer with that large samples because that's not feasible anymore. We have to have opportunity to or possibility to put or to use various sample environments. Should be able to have a machine with very, very high efficiency, and that's where we want to study matter under special confinement, which is now gaining interest for various reasons. Access to time scales as large as possible, that's obvious. Study magnetic multilayers. study samples under extreme environments, as already mentioned. Study high absorption samples. I will be talking about lithium batteries in a moment. Provide flexible resolution. And now a few topics that are currently under the interest of inelastic scattering community at Frank Laboratory of Newton Physics. And that's not taken from the sky, it's just things that are really either being measured now or will be soon measured or have been measured for some time already. Molecular crystals and glass formers at low temperatures in connection with complementary studies and ab initio quantum chemical calculations. By glass, I mean here it's not a thermodynamic phase, it's any state whereby dynamics of particular kind of all dynamics has been kinetically frozen in. So then we may have a glass of rotation phases in plastic crystals and so on. Their behavior in low temperatures and at very low energy transfer is very interesting because glasses behave in a non-Debye way, whereas crystals do behave in a Debye way, and there may be a contribution from both. pharmaceuticals in bulk native state and amorphized or micronized, as they often call it. It's also important because micronized chemicals are absorbed easier by organisms, by human organisms, and therefore we need less of the medical agents. Matter under special confinement, and we can distinguish two types. Hard confinement is like nanopore matrices. And soft confinement, for instance, microfibers. We are doing microfibers in Krakow, and why it is important, just wait a few minutes. Sorry. Materials for energy storage. For instance, plasticizers for polymer electrolyte used in lithium ion batteries, catalysts, photonic materials of industrial applications. I did something stupid here. Now, two examples of how beautiful and how valuable data can be taken out from neutron scattering experiments. This is a research made on an inorganic glass. It's a lithium borate glass, and its properties, thermodynamic properties, have been studied close to at very low temperatures and by neutrons close to zero energy transfer. Here, the so-called boson peak has been used to scale calorimetric data so that they can all lie on one curve. It's absolutely non-trivial results. It's a very beautiful results. It's a fantastic paper by Japanese researchers, and it is not accidental that the paper has been made in Japan, because Japan holds at least two or three world best centers of thermodynamic studies of adiabatic calorimetry. We collaborate with them in Krakow, and we will soon revamp or restore our adiabatic calorimeter, which is unique. And this type of research will be possible, and we are aiming at it. The next idea is the study of stuff used for lithium batteries. Everybody is now interested in storage, in energy storage, and the development of very, very high capacity lithium ionic batteries is very important. Now, in Krakow, the town I come from, about one third of buses, of town buses, are electric buses. So it's important. It's a question about the mobility of electric charges in these batteries, and polymer electrolytes are not good for that, because the mobility is too low. We use well-designed plasticizer or solvents to change this state, to increase, and the solid polymer electrolytes becomes gel polymer electrolytes, and then the mechanism of mobility changes drastically from hopping in polymer electrolytes, solid polymer electrolytes, to a vehicle transport in gel polymer electrolyte. And now the study of the coordination of this ion by organic molecules is a beautiful domain of neutron spectroscopy, inelastic neutron spectroscopy. This all happens in micropore matrices for safety reasons, and that's also an argument why research of soft matter under special confinement is important. Thank you very much, and I hand over to Dorota for the next part.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Wojtek. You will have the opportunity to put questions after Dorota's presentation, and hopefully you will be available, Wojtek, for this period also. So, Dorota, please continue.
Thank you. This was a scientific background or some background for our science case for our project of new inelastic neutron scattering spectrometer. And I would like to show you or remind you and show you the more technical maybe aspect of this project development. So how it was mentioned, we have two working under user program spectrometers, NIRA and DIN2P. NIRA is actually, we finished modernizing now, and it's more or less a spectrometer which can work and give us a scientific output on the satisfied level. DIN2P, it's unfortunately not under our interest. We need to replace it. A little bit history. So in 2019, in March of 2019, we had a meeting. On this meeting, we proposed to replacing NIRA spectrometers with a new one. But after this meeting with directorate support, we decided to change our plans. And about it, I spoke on the last pack in the June 2019. So we leave NIRA and we decide to prepare a new project of two new instruments for inelastic neutron scattering. One inverse geometry inelastic neutron scattering and the second one direct geometry. Actually, this was presented as a big project for a longer period, and now I would like to more in detail that say you that our first project, which we will open in the June 2020, so on the next PAC meeting is connected with first and the second step of this big project. So it means it's a neutron guides for first spectrometer. First part will be neutron guides or system for two instruments, and then about 100 meters of neutron guides, and the second step is our secondary spectrometer. Of course, we started last year working on this. We start with simulations. Our simulations, which was carried out with MaxTax package, with people from St. Petersburg, and with help of our colleague from ILL. Actually, because of available space, so our building where our experimental hall where we plan to put our spectrometer is about 100 meters from reactor. So because of this available space and needed time resolution and energy range, we decide that this spectrometer of inverse geometry will be placed on the distance of 105 meters. And of course, we started a simulation for the optics separately and for the spectrometer. For the optics, all optimization was for the wavelength band 0.5 to 1 angstrom. And how it was mentioned, we would like to propose two sample size, so the standard size 3 by 3 square centimeters, and the small size sample size option 1 by 1 square centimeter. For the simulations, we started simulations of spectrometer, secondary spectrometer, just on the end of 2019. Up to now, we have just the part of the simulations. I will show you. This is some first results, but this is like our spectrometer, how it looks like. Actually, this is the part, here is reactor, and from reactor we have part with changing nose for changing the size of the sample. And the main part of spectrometer is here. I can show you, the picture is quality here, not maybe the best. So we have two parts of our spectrometer. Here we have high-oriented pyrolytic graphite plates and simulation of the first part of So first simulations of the secondary spectrometer is for the rings of these plates, one ring. But of course, we will make simulations for whole bigger part of these analyzers. So here is the sample position. From here, neutrons. Analyzers, here we have beryllium filters, and inside beryllium filters we will have detectors. So these two parts are separately between them crossed with sample. This is another view of it. For each one part, we need about 700 plates in the same with the same size 2 per 3 centimeters. Of course, yes, this is for the one part. So, yeah. In June 2019, I show you our project schedule, which we propose. It was half years ago, and now I can comment a little bit what we already done or what are plans. Actually, how you saw, we started simulations. These simulations we will finish of the optics, so neutron guides, mirrors, and so on. These simulations we will finish in the end of February. We also started speak with Swiss Neutronics about our new neutron guides. We know that now Swiss Neutronics is very busy because ESS, and because of that, we carried out a little bit aerial. After simulations, they will give us some commercial proposition. Today, I can say that first estimations of the cost of this 100 meter neutron guides is about it's a little bit more than $3 million dollars for M equil. But we don't need M equal 3, so the price will be increasing. Of course, this I will present more in details after ending simulations and after preparing of our budget calculations. But if you can see, so simulations and some proposition and some contracts, so we can start to prepare in this year, and how we spoke with people with Swiss Neutronics, they can prepare neutron guides for us until 2022. So in 2023, it's possible to install this neutron guides in our laboratory. Another timetable is science case conceptual design. This everything will be described, and we will give our documents for opening a new team on the beginning of April. So another thing is to prepare place for the new spectrometer. Now we have there two spectrometers. One is operating, so we are waiting to end of these operations. And the another one is old one, DIN-PR. I hope it will be done until end of this summer. So then a whole experimental hall renovations until summer 20 or the first half of 21. This job, which was already done, it was thanks to really great collaborations, and this is inter-institutional collaborations, international collaborations, and because of this really great people, some works was carried out here, so it's planned to be carried out here in Dubna, in our institute, so some detectors systems, for example, here in our laboratory, but also main part of construction works will be done with collaborations with Polish company. So this is all. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Dorota, for this excellent presentation. I am very sorry, but we have to postpone the discussion to the general discussion tomorrow morning because we have been left with less than 1 hour for the lunch. But I promise to start general discussion with this point. So thank you once again, and see you tomorrow at the general discussion and right now at lunch. So please reconvene by half past two. Yeah.